Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the 2020 Global Pulse Trust Survey was designed to add to the current conversation on trust by providing the CEO perspective. The survey was designed to provide insights on several issues, such as CEOs' views on the importance of trust with various stakeholder groups for the success of their business and the extent to which CEOs are taking action, succeeding at building cultures of trust within their organization. So business leaders' views on the role of societal impact in building trust with stakeholders and whether CEOs' action on societal issues have changed since the 2019 YPO Global Leadership Survey. We're speaking to Naveen Menon, who's president of Cisco Systems ASEAN, for his insights. Naveen, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me here.
Lovely to see you again. So overall, what did you make of the findings for this year?
Well, it was very interesting because of the 3,000 CEOs and chief executives interviewed worldwide, essentially 96% of them said that trust or building trust and maintaining trust with their stakeholders was a high priority. And without a doubt, trust remains one of the highest priorities or the critical business issues for, you know, young business leaders and CEOs worldwide. Mm. Now, trust is a very complex topic because it's not easy to define, but it is something that you need to, as a chief executive, worry about, because there's trust in your relationships with your suppliers, trust in your relationships with your customers, but also with your employees.
And also, what does trust mean in terms of it relates to what's actionably able to be seen?
Right.
So if someone trusts you, how do they display that?
Yeah,
trust someone, how do you display that?
I mean, well, definitions are one thing. I mean, the definition we used, or the YPO used when doing this survey, was that it is officially defined as the belief that a person or organization is reliable, honest, and caring. So reliable, honest, and caring. So, I mean, reliability is a key thing. So delivering on what you promise. So that could be a brand promise that they are committing to their customers.
Right.
Honest is a key factor. We're seeing, you know, increasingly more stakeholder activism as we see now world leaders gathering in Davos for the World Economic Forum. It's all about stakeholder capitalism. So it's not just about shareholders anymore. Chief executives worldwide are thinking, I need to provide value to multiple stakeholders, whether it be my own employees or my suppliers or my customers or even society at large. So they're taking a much more active role in shaping societal goals. And so honesty there and caring for not just your financial outcomes, but caring for the environment or caring for modern day social issues has become come to the forefront of the chief executive.
Yeah.
Which is very different from even 5 years ago.
When you just had to run your business, kind of.
And deliver financial returns.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So trust again, let's go back there and defining that trust, because we're talking about, so this is the perspective of the CEO, whether or not I trust my stakeholders, whether or not the stakeholders trust the CEO.
Yeah.
Is that definition the same?
Look, the definitions are different because there's a lot of perception involved. Mm. So if there is one breach, for example, if there is a cybersecurity breach in a company, you might lose trust in that organization for a little while, and then it takes time to rebuild that trust. That's on a customer level. If a product quality falls short, or if, let's say, the quality of a device that you bought is supposed to be give a warranty for 2 years, and then it breaks down after one, you might not buy that equipment again after the next time you have a choice to make. But what was interesting is that the Asia business leaders that were surveyed had a very different view about the obstacles to successfully building trust or maintaining trust with their employees compared to the rest of the world.
Mm.
So what we found is that Asia business leaders cited that company culture and operational structure were some of the biggest barriers to building employee trust. Whereas the rest of the world, some of the rest of the world cited reasons of, you know, I just don't have enough time, so lack of time. And they talked about competing priorities. So they talked about other things that they have to do. So Asian leaders were more concerned about company culture and operational structure. And so, you know, it's worth having a conversation with about, you know, what part of Asian company culture is creating a barrier towards building trust with their stakeholders.
How can that be addressed, do you think?
Well, I think there's clearly a growing importance of, you know, Asian companies tend to be, I'm speaking very general terms here, but they tend to be a little bit more hierarchical. a little bit more protocol-oriented than, say, the US-based counterparts. So, you know, those kinds of cultural issues are harder to address, let's say, in Asia than they are in the rest of the world. So it could be that that's one of the reasons that, you know, if you want to build trust up and down the organization, all the way down to, the lowest ranking employee, you need to have much more agile organizational structures. And those structures maybe don't exist yet pervasively across Asia.
Of course, we're speaking in general terms. We do know of smaller companies or companies here in Asia that are starting to embrace that sort of flat hierarchical type of structure, just maybe not quickly enough.
That's right. And, you know, when we, the survey from YPO queried what are the things that chief executives cite as important in order to build that trust, they say, well, or to overcome the cultural issue, they cite two things. One is improving and increasing communication. And the second is improving and increasing transparency of their business operations. So I know for myself, I run Cisco Systems in Southeast Asia and ASEAN. We have a very large footprint across the region.
And you can see then the difference, obviously.
Yeah,
from region to region.
And I know that from my own personal perspective, it's very important to keep giving the same message over and over again across, you know, various different stakeholders, either the top leadership or if it's the middle management or the lower management. It's important to keep giving the same message to all parts of the organization. And nowadays with multiple channels of communication like social media, internal and external comms, you know, lots of opportunities to basically communicate your message over and over again.
Do you need to phrase it in a different way, so to speak?
I think
same message, sure.
Yeah,
but as it goes to the different channels.
I think it's true. I think that's true. Although I have to say that people are much more informed, and especially our employees are very well informed. So they, you know, they will call you out if they find something contradictory in what you've said. So I think it's important to speak in simple English and in language that everyone can understand, even when you're speaking to boards of companies, which, you know, I speak a lot to boards of companies and advise on, for example, on cybersecurity strategy. Now, that tends to be a very technical topic. And I think it's important to speak to whoever your audience is in phrases and terminologies that they understand. But if you're speaking to a very technical audience, obviously, you need to change your communication approach.
Naveen Menon is president of Cisco Systems ASEAN. Naveen, I'm also talking about, say, cultural differences in how we communicate. Some are louder, which shall remain unnamed to protect the guilty. Some are not so loud. So I suppose the way in which a message is delivered needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Unfortunately, we still live in a very sort of male-dominated environment right now. So I do find that there are certain groups that are not having their voice heard. So, for example, I find that the new hires that are coming into an organization, they typically have amazing ideas. But if you have a very hierarchical structure, you may not be able to get the best ideas out through to the top of the organization. Women, of course, there's a difference in the way, you know, generally speaking, women converse versus the way men converse. I think I've tended to see, especially in technology industries, it's very male-dominated. I have to say, not in Cisco, we have a very strong female contingent because we're sort of older tech, if you like, compared to the newer tech. But, you know, we have about 40% of the staff are women. Definitely there is a difference. I mean, I think the style of communication of men tends to be a little bit more driven towards outcomes, whereas I think women tend to underplay their strengths. And that's been an interesting observation because it's about, you know, it's not that everyone needs to communicate the same way, but it's about drawing the best out of people in whenever they are in a conversation.
Now, I mean, let's talk about then the sustainability and societal issues that we touched on earlier, where now it's an expectation almost of CEOs and their companies. This about time, you think, or was it surprising that there was an uptick in recent times of this?
I think it's long overdue, if you ask me. You know, very recently, almost 200 CEOs in the US, including, you know, Chuck Robbins from Cisco Systems, CEOs of Apple, Google, a few of the top companies, basically got together and signed an agreement that they believed in the value of stakeholder engagement, right? So the primary purpose of the corporation is no longer purely about shareholder value creation. It's also about stakeholder value creation. And that was signaled as a significant shift in the way companies think about dealing with their ethically with their suppliers and their customers and their employees, but also in terms of saying, you know, we are here not just to service those stakeholders, but also to make an impact on progressing, you know, the future of the planet. Mm. And that's a significant shift, although I have to say long overdue. Mm. So I do feel it is somewhat overdue.
Do you think the pressure from stakeholders came first, or the social consciousness awakening of CEOs came first, or does it matter?
I think there's a lot of conversation around a lot of misguided and misinformation out there. So there's facts and there's, you know, there's fake news and there's all kinds of, and that's actually created a lot of dialogue. And that dialogue has meant that it's created an opportunity for CEOs who are leading in their field to step up and say, do you know what, I'm going to do something about this. Mm. Now, whether you believe climate change is real or not, I, for one, believe it is real. You know, you need to do something about it. So whether it is at the small, you know, at the individual level, for example, if you are a shop owner and you are, you know, selling and reselling food that is with plastic straws, if you move to sort of not giving straws at all, that in itself is a massive change. Mm. I know it's expensive to move to other more sustainable straws, but that's one example where individuals can take actions, even small, medium business can take action. Another one on an individual level is if you are, the Lancet has come out. Lancet is an organization.
Medical journal,
highly acclaimed medical journal. They put together the Lancet Commission, which has many, many doctors, PhDs around the world that have actually conducted research over multiple years on a sustainable diet for the planet. And they have actually come out and published online. You can actually see that they have published a diet for a future that will allow 10 billion people to live on the planet, live sustainably, and feed them and improve their health at the same time. And that's essentially based on a highly, you know, driven plant-based diet.
Mm.
And so moving towards those kinds of diets allow individuals to also take action. It's not just about the companies, but individuals can play their part too.
Mm. Naveen Menon, President of Cisco Systems, ASEAN, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.